Thank you, Darren, and everyone who participated this morning. Leslie and Bernice Flynn have written a book called God's Will, You Can Know It. And in this book, they relate different scenarios of how people attempt to figure out God's will for their lives. And so they share this story. The way some people attempt to know the will of God would make a great television series entitled, That's Unbelievable. I read this last week of a lady who had a lifelong ambition to go to the Holy Land. She got a pamphlet on the Holy Land and read it over carefully. And she had time and money to make the trip, but she wasn't certain if it was God's will. So before going to bed that night, she read again the pamphlet and noticed the details of the plan, that they were going to be traveling on a 747 jumbo jet there and back. And so she wrestled through the night and tossed back and forth, wondering what God's will might be. And as she woke up the next morning, she looked at her digital clock and it read, 747. And it convinced her that it was God's will to make her trip. That's unbelievable. Well, there are many stories like this, and some of them are kind of unbelievable and even bizarre, but there are some very sincere people and perhaps confused individuals with good intentions who desperately want to know God's direction for their life. The problem is they'll resort to means that are clearly unscriptural. So today we're going to see that God does speak to us. He does speak to us the same way that he spoke to Moses and others in the scriptures. And it's not a great mystery. It's a matter of applying some sound principles in the decision-making process. Any experience with God has to begin with a salvation experience. A time in your life when you realize that you are a sinner and in need of a Savior. And that's not an easy thing to admit, but God's Word confirms. It confirms that everyone has sinned. Everyone falls short of the beauty of God's standards. And then further on in Romans chapter 6 and the first part of verse 23, it becomes clear that sin has consequences. There it says that sin pays its servants. The wages of sin is death. And if that's where the story ended, I wouldn't be here, and you probably wouldn't want to be here either. There's no hope in that message if it ends right there. The good news is that Jesus Christ paid the penalty, the consequence for our sins when he died on that cross over 2,000 years ago. They buried him, the scripture says, in a rich man's tomb. And they sealed the grave to ensure that he was going to stay there. They buried him there. But my friends, there's great victory in this story. It's the greatest story that was ever told, that Jesus Christ came to life again. And he defeated death in the grave. And it's a great story because every man, woman, boy, or girl can have hope because of what took place when Jesus Christ came to life again. Every person, through an act of faith, trusting Christ as the only Savior, can live forever. And if I were to ask you today if you wanted to live forever, I think that pretty much everyone in this room would say, yes, I want to live forever. Well, Romans 6:23, the latter half of it, confirms this, that God gives to those who serve him his free gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so I'm asking you this morning if you will accept that free gift, because it is free. And we want you to walk out of here today knowing that God has taken care of your sin and you that you have hope in your heart as you move forward. Well, the Christian life can be a life that is full of God experiences. And we've talked about the seven realities about a life with God that we should grasp if we're going to experience God to the fullest in our lives. And these seven experiences go something like this. God is always at work around you. God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. God invites you to become involved with him in his work. God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit, or through the Holy Spirit, and prayer, Bible study, circumstances, and the church to reveal his purposes and his ways. God's invitation, when God offers us an invitation, it may mean that we're going to have a crisis, and we probably will have a crisis of belief, because it will mean that we'll have to step out in faith, trusting him. And it will probably mean that we're going to have to make some major adjustments to our lives as well, to fall into place with God's will. You come to know God by experience as you obey him, and he accomplishes his work through you. So today we are going to consider part two of reality number four, that God speaks to us. Isn't it amazing to think that the great God of heaven would want to speak to me, would want to speak to you, that he would want to communicate with us and have an intimate relationship with us? He wants to reveal to us his plans and his purposes. And we will never fully understand God at all. But he wants to reveal himself to us. And he has revealed himself to us in many ways. And he wants to connect with us so that there is intimate communication. Well, over time, God has used various ways in order to speak to his people. In the Old Testament, God spoke in many ways. That God spoke is the most important factor, not how he spoke. But God did speak. And when God spoke, it was usually unique to that individual. He spoke to Moses, you'll remember, from the burning bush. He spoke to him face to face. He spoke to others through the prophets. He spoke to others through angels. Many ways in which God has spoken. And when God spoke, that person was sure that he was speaking. Except maybe Samuel. Samuel had to go back and forth a few times until he really found out that it was the Lord that was speaking to him. But there was no doubt about it, as a rule, that it was God who was speaking. And when God spoke, the person knew what God said. And when he spoke, that was the encounter with God. And in most cases, it was a life-changing encounter that took place. God is in the business today of changing lives. When God speaks to us, it's time for us to act, to get our life in gear and obey him. If we ever get to the point in our Christian experience where we don't want God speaking to us, we need revival. We need personal revival. We should desire for God to speak to us. And you know, Joshua is a good example of a man who heard God speak. And I tend to think that Joshua was a man who had some fears. And so it would have taken a great step of faith for Joshua to step out and do what he did. But we read these words in Joshua chapter 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord, notice, spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, to the sons of Israel. Quite a task that God placed on this man, to lead this nation across the Jordan. And we wonder, is Joshua going to respond to that? Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp, and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. Joshua responded to the Lord's voice. When God spoke to him, he obeyed. And yet I think it was a crisis of faith for him to respond to that. And you can imagine, we were talking about this in our study the other night. It was flood time when they were to cross that Jordan River. And God backed up those waters. Can you imagine what it was like for the first person, the priest, to put his or her his foot into the water? It was a great act of faith. Joshua knew that it was God speaking. He understood, he responded to God's invitation. He had a real God experience, an encounter with God. Well, in the Gospels, God spoke also by his Son. Jesus was very active in the Gospels, and he preached a message to people. He spoke to them about repentance and the fact that the kingdom of God was near. And he touched many people in practical ways. He healed a number. And he showed his compassion to many. And in the Acts, and to the present time, God speaks by his Holy Spirit. And David outlined last week the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians today. He lives in us, the Holy Spirit. He reveals truth to us. How can we know today when God is speaking to us? Well, knowing God's voice comes from an intimate love relationship with him. We have to have a close relationship with God if we're going to hear his voice. God speaks when he has a purpose in mind for our lives. And the moment God speaks to you, to me, is God's timing. And that is the time that we should act and adjust our lives to do what God wants us to do. If God speaks to us today and wants us to know his purposes and his ways, how does he do it? Well, the tools that God uses are not mysterious at all. The Spirit of God is the one who reveals truth to us. He is the Spirit of truth, and he uses various means to do that. Reality number 4 says this, that God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself to us, his ways, his purposes. So if a person wants to hear the voice of God, he or she, as this verse on the bottom says, must belong to him. He who belongs to God hears what God says. And the reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And I might qualify that we may belong to God, but we may not hear him because there's sin in our lives. But certainly, if we do want to hear his voice, we have to belong to him as a major first step. But there are many people in this world today who don't feel that they belong. And perhaps their parents have separated, or their parents aren't alive at all, and they're all alone, and they just don't feel that they belong. And maybe this morning you're one of those people. And so I have some good news for you, that God wants you to belong to him. He wants you to become his child today. And he has the biggest and the best adoption agency in the world. The question is this morning, will you allow God to be your father? Will you allow God to adopt you into his family? Speaking to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul said this: he planned in his purpose of love that we should be adopted as his own children through Jesus Christ, that we might learn to praise that glorious generosity of his, which has made us welcome in the everlasting love he bears toward the Son. If God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning about your soul, it means that God is inviting you into an intimate love relationship with himself. And after we become his child, he wants us to continue to be attentive to his voice. He wants to speak to us. And we already know that God speaks to us through his word. The song that Mercy Me sang this morning indicates that. How does it happen? Well, look at this particular slide. God speaks through the Bible. First of all, we have to understand, as David made clear last week, that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. He is the divine author of the Bible. And this is what we would call inspiration, the doctrine of inspiration. Now, here's how the Apostle Peter says it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. But you must understand this at the outset, that no prophecy of Scripture arose from an individual's interpretation of the truth. No prophecy came because a man wanted it to. Men of God spoke because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and reveals truth to us. And at that point in time, we have the opportunity to obey that truth and adjust our lives to it and move ahead with God. The Bible is a God-breathed book. It comes right from the heart of God himself. It's alive, and we would be better to take that book and use it in our lives every single day. God wants to speak to us through it. So when you pick up your Bible to read, maybe a good prayer would be simply this: Lord, speak to me. Speak to me and reveal your truth to me. I think there has to be a genuine desire in our hearts for God to speak to us. One of our problems, I believe, in our society today is that we're not using this enough. We're not reading it enough. And you know, we can come up with all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't or why we can't. But God wants us to read his word, because that is how he reveals truth to us, primarily, I think, through his own word. And may it be that you have a desire to wear your Bible out by reading it. The first question that I ask myself when I'm trying to decide a particular direction for my life is this: what does God's word say? is what I'm doing going contrary to the Word of God? If it is, then I shouldn't be doing it. That should settle the question right there. But if the Scripture does not disqualify me from proceeding with a certain matter, then I think that we are free to do that. But we have to make wise choices in the process. First of all, I pray, because I also believe that God speaks to me through prayer. And I ask the Lord to reveal His truth to me. And when God reveals that truth from His Word, again, you can see here that we need to adjust to God and we need to obey Him. And it may be perfectly legitimate for me to pursue a certain avenue, but maybe God is going to change my heart through prayer too and help me to move in another direction. I believe that He can reveal further truth to me from His Word as I pray and as I'm willing to obey the truth of His Word. Now, in this area, I think the apostles used prayer. Remember when they were trying to choose the 12th disciple? And there it boiled down to two people. There was Matthias and there was Joseph. And so the apostles went to prayer to ask the Lord His mind in this situation. And here's what we read in the book of Acts. Thou, Lord, who knowest all hearts of all men, show which one of these two thou hast chosen to occupy this ministry and the apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. How did the Lord show them? Well, the next verse says this, and they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. But I believe that happened as a result of prayer, and I'm not sure how lots work, but I do believe that God wanted Matthias as the 12th apostle, and so the disciples cast lots. Another way that God can help me to make a wise choice is through circumstances. God speaks to us through circumstances. We are in the midst of circumstances. Somebody once told me that we only have two problems in life. You'd be glad to know this. People and circumstances. That sums it all up. But God does speak to us today through circumstances. And it's a bit of a tricky thing, I believe, to discern at times. Sometimes it becomes very clear as to what God is saying to me through the circumstances in my life. Other times we may have to go through some trying circumstances before we can really understand what God is wanting us to know. And we've learned that it's not a good thing to be questioning God a lot during our circumstances. It's when we get to the end sometimes of a very trying situation that we understand what God was trying to say to us, and His truth becomes very clear to us. You know, I think of that in the story of Naomi in the Old Testament, in the book of Ruth. And it took place during the time of the judges, and it was a very disastrous time, really, for the nation of Israel at that time. Naomi and her husband Elimelech were Jews who went into the land of Moab with their two sons because there was a famine in the land of Canaan. And as it happened during that time, Elimelech died. The two boys married Moabite women. And as it turned out, the two boys died as well. And so here's Naomi in a very trying circumstance. Her husband is dead. Her children are gone as well. And so she decides that she's going to go back into the land of Canaan. And she's going to be there among her people. She encouraged her daughter-in-laws to stay. They thought that they wanted to follow her back to Canaan. But Naomi encouraged them to stay in the land of Moab because she knew that it would be very difficult for them to find another husband in a foreign land, especially among the Jewish people. But Ruth was one of her daughter-in-laws who said, "No way. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go where you go, and I'm going to walk with you, and I want your God to be my God. And I don't care if I can't marry again. I don't care what the circumstances are. I'm going to be with you." And so she went with Naomi. Ruth was there, and she went out to glean food in the fields, picking up wheat. And Boaz was a man who owned this particular field. He saw Ruth. He asked questions about her. They met. And when Ruth went home, she told Naomi how she had met this kind individual. Naomi was thrilled because Boaz was a relative. And as a near relative, Boaz would have the opportunity to redeem their property for them and perform the Levirate marriage that was required as well in that process, meaning that Ruth would be able to marry Boaz. And so Naomi encouraged her to go and sleep on the threshing floor at the feet of Boaz, which really was a marriage proposal. And Ruth did that. She took a big chance in doing that. She could have been rejected. But Boaz was really humbled that this young girl would want to marry an older man. But he said, "You know, I can't do this because there's another near relative who has first place. And he has to be contacted and he has to be consulted." Boaz consulted the individual. He said, yes, he would like to redeem the property. But then Boaz said, "Yeah, but there's one other hitch to this. You have to marry Ruth." And he didn't want to marry Ruth because it would jeopardize the inheritance, perhaps, for his other family members. And so the lot then fell to Boaz. Isn't it interesting, as we read the scriptures, that Boaz married Ruth. They had Obed and David, and it goes on and on down the genealogical chart to the time when Jesus Christ was born by Mary. But you know what? When Naomi looked back on this situation, and she had a baby boy in her lap, and she was nursing her grandchild, she praised the Lord for that. And so the point is, we can't always see the end of our circumstances and why the Lord allows certain things in our lives. But God is in control, and one thing we need to keep in mind is this, that God has an everlasting love for his children. His love endures forever, and God will not abandon us, even when we think perhaps that God is. Like Naomi didn't want her name to be Naomi anymore. That means pleasant. She wanted it to be Mara, which means bitter, because God, she felt, had dealt bitterly with her. But in the end, I think she could see that God didn't deal bitterly with her. God speaks to us today through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, and he also speaks to us through the church, but we're going to leave that one because the church is something that we're going to be talking about a little bit later in this study. I don't believe that the numbers that come up in my alarm clock is necessarily the will of God for my life. It could be. Get out of bed, yes. But to go to the Holy Land, I don't think so. It tells me the time as well. When God speaks, I think we need to respond And we need to be actively involved in accomplishing his plans and his purposes for our lives. Are we attentive to his voice today? Has God spoken to you over the past week? What is God saying to you right now? It's 12 o'clock, it's time to quit. Maybe. But God is speaking continually to us. And I want to say today that if God has spoken to you this morning about your soul, it's time to respond. It's an invitation from the God of heaven that he wants you to be his child, that he wants to have an intimate love relationship with you. And so I encourage you today to please accept God's invitation of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to say this, in doing that, all of your problems are not going to disappear. In fact, you may have more problems, but we have the problem solver on our side, and he can help us through any and every situation of our lives. So may God bless you today, and may he challenge each one of our hearts by this truth that God is speaking to us, and may we read his word this week and listen for his voice. May we spend time with him in prayer and hear God speak. Pay attention to how God is working around us. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you that you're a God who is ever present. We heard this morning about Hagar, and we understand that you are the God who sees. And Lord, we thank you that you see what's happening in our lives right now. And more importantly, you care. You care what we're going through. So Lord, I pray today, you know the hearts of every individual here. You know what they're going through. I pray that you would speak to each one in a special way. And God, that you would reveal your truth to them. We commit the families here today to you, Lord. I pray your blessing on each one. And God, may you cause your face to shine upon each one and fill them with your peace, we pray, in that name above every name, the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.